Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago politicians like Rod Blagojevich love to talk about themselves as public servants. They wrap themselves up in it. Like a blanket. Like the Dailies, Dorothy Brown, Madigan, Cullerton. When they're really all about themselves and their power and their ambition. But there were two real public servants killed Monday night while investigating calls of shots fired on the far south side. There was a man with a gun. And on the railroad tracks at 103rd Street Rosemont stop, near 103rd and Dauphin Avenue, they were there. They didn't have press agents. They didn't have a history of leveraging political power for fortune. They didn't have favorite media scribes kissing their butts as they walked up that train embankment. They were Chicago police officers. Eduardo Marmolejo, 36, and Conrad Gary. Both men were fathers of young children. Now, chasing a man with a gun as speeding trains shoot past them is dangerous business. And a man with a gun is supremely dangerous business. What they were about was not using politics to squeeze people or not get their pictures in the paper. They didn't virtue signal. They were alone. They were about saving lives and risking theirs. Eduardo Marmolejo and Conrad Gary lost their lives trying to protect the people of Chicago. These are the true public servants of the city. And may God have mercy upon their souls and protect their families as Christmas draws near, only days away.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Jeff, one segment I got to ask you about.
Okay.
The Chicago way, last time I said we're growing, and then late last night after a tremendously difficult day for you, you texted me something about how well we're doing here.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so over the last 3 or 4 months, and we've kind of been building to this point, but on WGN's radio, which has, there's hundreds of hours of podcast material put up every week.
By hosts, outsiders, political reporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And all that included, this podcast is the number one non-sports related podcast. I mean, hat tip to Adam Hogue and Johns. They do great stuff with the Bears.
It's a Bears town.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, and they do great coverage, and it's always a good conversation. But we are doing really well, and we're looking to keep doing better. And we want to thank everybody who's been listening and retweeting and sharing and giving us reviews. Tell your friends. That's what I tell everybody.
Yeah.
But thanks so much. It's been it's a lot of fun. So, if you guys,
we like doing it. We're not paid for this.
No, we're not paid for it.
We just like to talk to you guys.
We're not paid for it, and it's John and I are both at the point where it's like we want to keep doing this. We definitely want to keep doing it, but at the same time, we need to keep growing at the rate we have. So it can come of interest to someone to come and sponsor it, and then it makes it ultimately completely worthwhile. I mean. The feedback and being able to have a voice in the in a wash of other stuff.
Do you know why it's important to me that everyone listening write reviews and so forth? It's because if you keep doing this and we keep growing, we get sponsors. But that's not the issue to me. The sponsors isn't the issue. It is important to get sponsors because then you get locked in.
Right.
And then they think, we have to have this podcast around. And then we can talk about the things we talk about that others don't talk about.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are some people who do, But you're going to, it's very rare that you're going to have this kind of discussion in media in Chicago. We're behind the Iron Blue Curtain, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So the reviews are important to get sponsors and so forth, but also to get the WGN and, you know, who knows what's happening in this changing radio environment, and to get, like, put a, you know, pound a stake into the wall or whatever you do when you're rock climbing, which I couldn't do because I'm a fat guy with short legs and I'd fall off and die. I'd be splattered, like drop a garbage bag, full garbage bag. That's what would happen to me. But I mean, you put your, you know, your hook or whatever it is into the wall and you can stay there for a while.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely. And I, so thank you, but you know, keep it up.
That's right, everybody. And we're going to, Kristen McQuarrie is going to come in.
Yeah, we're going to get to that Mika Mike or whatever it is. And again, speaking of things that were texted, John texted me this thing. And of course, I went to our good friend, Mika Stambaugh, who was Rahm's communications director for his first run. And now she's got her own PR company. And I love Mika. She's a great person. But that's the first thing I'm thinking of. I'm like, Who said what? What?
You thought Mika, that was that Mika.
Right.
No, like, she wouldn't do
no,
that.
No, never. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And then I followed up with it. I'm like, well, John, you know, that Mika Brzezinski and Morning Joe, they're jesters in the court of media. And I ignore them. I mean,
but so's Kevin Hart. He's a jester, too. He's a funny man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he gets knocked out of the Oscars for something he said years and years ago. People change their minds. People change, you know,
people
they
evolve.
Mature, evolve. Yeah. Even I'm evolving. But, you know, Mika's still working.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart gets knocked off. And the Heisman Trophy winner gets his whole trophy ruined. What's going on here with these double standards against, what do I have to do? Do I have to be a social justice warrior? Between the way the media treats African Americans who don't toe the line, and the way they give breaks to white chicks, white blonde chicks who are liberal, married to liberal Trump attackers. I don't know. What does Kristen think?
Oh, geez. Oh, God. Double standards is the norm.
I almost died while thinking of Kristen McQuarrie. Hello, Kristen.
Hello. I don't know where this is going. What did I do?
Okay, I'm going down the stairs. It's dark early in the morning. I'm hearing about you in Haiti on the radio. I have the phone. It's on the phone. And the lights off because I don't want to wake people up.
Yes.
And at the bottom of the stairs, there's like boxes for Christmas stuff.
Man.
And Betty's shoes. And I go flying, and I'm flying in the air in the darkness. And I think I know I'm going to hit like the hard corner of the table right on my temple. I just knew it. And I started laughing at myself because I was thinking my last thoughts on earth will be of Kristen McQuarrie.
Wow.
What an honor.
Were you going down your living room stairs?
Yeah, I had already I got into the bottom, but then I was...
Then you were stumbling around.
Across the foyer.
Shoes are an issue in my house, too.
You just have
They're just everywhere, you know. And I'm sorry, but man shoes are huge. You might as well put a cinder block at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, the black Oxfords, too. Especially.
Yes.
But you and Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was subbing for Amy Jacobson on WIND, and yes, we were talking about it.
What about it?
Well, a couple years ago, I went to Haiti with my dad, who goes regularly, and my two sisters, so it was just sort of a bonding experience. But it was with Hope for Haitians, which is a group that started out of Rockford, a couple of, you know, those awful, awful wealthy people who we all love to demonize.
Who don't pay enough taxes.
They don't pay enough taxes. They're all cheaters. Blah. They started this charity in the late 90s because one of them went to Haiti and they just realized these people have nothing. There's no government. And by now, the little Rockford contingent has probably built, I don't know, like 300 villages, schools. Water to you in these little villages, people finally have like a pumping station where they can go get water. So Food for the Poor, which is who we were talking about too on the program, partners with this Rockford group. So that's who we were with when we went.
You know, I hear Paul Vell is, you know, went to Rockford, I mean, Haiti. I'm sure he's been to Rockford, but Haiti as well.
There are
working
probably parts
there,
that might be similar.
You know, he did. I don't know how much time they're doing the trying to improve the schools, and he says that there's less economic development in some parts of. I don't know how he puts it, but there's less economic development in some parts of Chicago than in Port-au-Prince.
That could be true.
Like Roseland, Lawndale.
I don't know, but I have not been to Port-au-Prince. Yeah. We were in Cap Haitien, which is north of there. And, I mean, there's no running water. So I find that a little bit hard to compare the two. And I'll just say that it's a desperate country, and we had to have armed guards with us on the bus as we exited the airport. It was like a scene out of, do you remember Romancing the Stone?
Yeah, sure.
When they kind of get in Colombia, and there's just all these people at the airport, Cartagena, and people are trying to get you to get in their cab.
Because El Guapo is there.
Oh, really?
He's the drug lord, right? Yep. El Guapo. Yep.
Are you pronouncing
rabbit?
That correctly? Because El right. Guapo means handsome.
Yeah, that's his. He's
El Guapo.
El Guapo. He's the handsome. That was his nickname.
And then
he opens the door and he recognizes the romance novelist.
Yes.
And of course the killer drug lord loves romance novels. And he's like, "You are there. You are here. Come here." I love that movie.
I know it's one of the best.
Yeah,
I love that movie too.
That was who was the actress in that?
That's Kathleen Turner?
That's right, yep.
When she was the nice girl as opposed to the steamy femme fatale in one
Body
of the great...
Body Heat?
Now she's kind of gotten...
Now
she's
mom.
More like this and this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, she was beautiful in that movie.
Yeah, she's great. I love Kathleen.
She's not beautiful anymore, though, is she?
I think she's still beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like to me like she's hitting the sauce.
In a nostalgic kind of way. I mean, you know, the mind's eye. You see,
she could be like the hot chick in an Elmore Leonard novel that used to be hot. And there's an older guy, you know, my age,
right.
Who like, you know, maybe remembers her when she was
right.
younger. And
that's what
I'm
saying.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know I was going to go through Kathleen Turner fantasy talk on this edition of The Chicago.
It's not fantasy talk.
She is hot in that movie, though.
In that one, yeah.
Yeah, in Romancing the Stone. That was one of the first movies I remember my parents allowing me to go to alone with my friend, Amy Krabiel. So that's why I
remember. The Romancing the Stone?
Yes.
And there was another one. There's a sequel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We'll have to get on that. But anyway.
And there was a creepy guy in there. Creepiest actor in all of actordom.
In which
Michael
one?
Douglas.
Oh, I like Michael Douglas
so
now.
So creepy. I would not let my granddaughters date him.
He was a badass in Romancing the Stone. Remember, he was using a machete to cut off heads of reptiles that were hurting her, and
he was walking around with like Orvis clothes.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, very Orvis, manly Orvis.
Chest hair. I don't know that he had any, but if he did, you would have seen
probably
it.
Probably pasted some with glue.
Yeah, they probably did.
Like, you
prosthetic.
Know, pulled it from a hair.
A chest merkin?
What?
Oh, my God. What? Don't even say that's a thing.
I'm sure it is.
What is a chest merkin?
Merkin?
Oh, that was a thing from the Middle Ages when the maiden was too young. Correct?
Maybe that's another. Yeah. My reference knowing is from Hollywood. Merkin is a faux patch of hair used to cover your nether regions in a film, so it looks like you're nude, but you're not because you're not.
All right, but clearly
wow.
as a student,
it's a toupee.
I learned so much when I
as
joined
a student
this
of what's the name of the book? It's La Mort d'Arthur by Thomas Malory, and I read that and then read all the academic work surrounding it about the Arthur and the Camelot and all sorts of things.
I'm just going to sit here and drink my champagne.
Yeah, should we?
Kristen brought champagne.
So there's a Merkin thing there, don't even ask me about it.
It's a mimosa without the orange juice. Who needs it? You don't need that sugar.
These are good.
Just hit the bottle.
No oranges need to die for this.
No.
Exactly. Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova.
Okay, I got to bring a couple things up here, you guys. One is the whole butt boy thing. Can I say butt boy on the air?
You just did.
I don't want to. It's not. I'm a reporter.
Right.
I'm not trying to use it as a pejorative. I'm just saying Mika Brzezinski.
Or Micah, whatever.
Whatever her name is. The severe blonde princess of the left on what show? MSNBC?
Morning Joe.
Morning Joe.
With her former boyfriend turned husband, whatever that nutball's name is. Joe?
Joe Scarborough?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ding.
The clutch cargo of left, cargo. A lefty talk. Did you ever notice this about Scarborough when he's chuck clutch cargo? Like his mouth, his face doesn't move, but his mouth moves.
He's a pro.
Spinner and paddle foot. Anyway.
Or he's frozen that way, but yeah. I don't know.
So she's talking about Mike Pompeo, and he's not hating on the Saudis enough for her.
Oh, okay.
And she's got a panel with senators, including our own Dick Durbin. And she says...
So, Joe, I have to ask, because I don't think that I can't think of anyone here who could put it more clearly than you. I understand that Donald Trump doesn't care. Heilman makes a good point. He doesn't care. But why doesn't Mike Pompeo care right now? Are the pathetic deflections that we just heard when he appeared on Fox and Friends, is that a patriot speaking? Or a wannabe dictator's butt boy? I'm dead serious. I'm asking, are these the words of a patriot?
He's debased himself. He once again...
First of all, I don't want to get into the whole language police business, but how can you say such a thing about the Secretary of State? Top of his class in Annapolis.
I mean, is this really worse than what... I'm sorry, let me just say it. Is this worse than what Donald Trump has said or tweeted? Is it worse than what you hear on other cable shows? We talk all the time about not being offended and don't be a buttercup. So are we falling into that little bit of that trap?
No, I'm falling into the trap of I don't like any censorship of anything. Really, I'm a free speech fundamentalist absolutist. Just like I'm a Second Amendment absolutist. And everything else in the Constitution. Written by our founders. Keep it that way. But I find that there's a double standard when it comes to conservative speak. If someone is conservative, or even not conservative, like this African-American comedian
right.
who had some tweets years ago, they find it and they tweet it and they demand that the Oscars dump him.
And it demanded, yeah, it was put out there, but
it was demanded.
He's right. Give Hart all the credit in the world.
He would not apologize for it.
He didn't apologize for it, but he said, you know what? It was stupid, and in being in front of the audience, I'm going to be in. I'll step aside. Fine, I get it. It's always been my dream,
right?
But
that's okay.
I'll be the bigger guy.
Yeah, get rid of the black guy because
right.
somebody's yeah. And then there was the Heisman Trophy story, where the young man wins the Heisman Trophy. And USA Today goes and looks back at his tweets from like when he was 14 years old. And he was saying something about to his friends about, are you queer or something? And his name's Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. And they just blasted him. They blew his whole Heisman victory up. That's what his Heisman, when he wins the Heisman, and bingo, all over the news. Mm-hmm. USA Today, he's a homophobe, he's a hater. So it's okay, I guess, if they're black guys, you can. If they're African American, as far as the left is concerned, if you're African American and you say something, you can be destroyed. But if you're the princess in Washington, the princess of the left with Joe Scarborough, Clutch Cargo,
then it's tough talk. Then it's whatever
tough.
That
right.
little lead-in was. It was like a smackdown on cable TV. And you're right. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying this is. This is the world in which we live, and I'm
tired of it.
I get tired of it too, but I have to. I'm almost numb to it. You saw J.B. Pritzker took a trip out to Washington D.C. and was seated a couple seats down from Donald Trump and was right. photographed, and he's at the White House. Does anyone remember the furor over
racist Trump? He's a hater.
The furor over Governor Rauner. Just always pushing him to take a position on Trump. Take a position. Did you vote for him? Did you do this? Are you going to sit next to him when he comes to Illinois? What are you going to wear? Are you going to go to Washington? Do you speak to him? All of that, it kind of, I mean, I don't agree with Rauner's position, but he recoiled and he never would just like address the issue and just be up front like he's the president. But here we have
Pritzker.
Because
he's a Republican and he wouldn't get fair play.
Well, I'm just saying exactly to your point of the double standard. It absolutely exists. I've seen no pushback on Pritzker visiting the Trump White House, even though Pritzker just funded all these candidates for state legislature who won because they're all anti-Trump. And they were just all over Governor Rauner for 2 years as to where he was with Trump and are you going to repudiate what he's saying and forcing him to react basically to just like nutty things Trump would say on Twitter. And here Pritzker does it, goes, sits, right. Photographs,
right. And crickets. Obsequiously talks about how much he loves to help schools, just like you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was, if you want to think of obsequious posturing, that was it. Because 2 weeks ago, did he call him a lying racist scumbag?
I'm sure on the campaign trail.
He's like,
many times.
I need your money.
And again, I think governors should work with presidents.
Me too.
They're our conduit to the.
Exactly. So this is not a criticism of him going. It's just pointing out the double standard of the coverage.
Right. And under 4 years of Rauner, well, not 2 years of Rauner, we had to essentially be a bastardized state because the president says, well, you know, their governor won't play ball. Screw him. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he had to do that because he knew it would be used against him.
By whom?
By the left media. And
media.
Yeah. And Democrats.
Because if media plays that game and takes sides like they do against African-American athletes and comedians, but pro for the woman, Mika, whatever her name is, when they take sides, and they do, they alter reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, they change the facts of how the people of this state are, you know, get services, get funding. Yeah, we work with the federal government, and
yeah, because they're saying now that, Kristen, they're saying now that, oh, that was diplomacy. Mm-hmm. And Pritzker should be congratulated for being larger than.
I know.
That, right?
I mean, we could point to instances like this every day of the week, every year since Trump has been elected, where there's just a heightened scrutiny. I mean, now there is, I don't know, is it a federal investigation into Trump's inauguration?
That's a laugh.
Were people giving money and going to get access?
In the hope, that's what they do.
People giving money to go to big parties and celebrate? What?
Hello. I revert back to I've not been to many inaugurations, but I was at Blagojevich's the first time. And he made an effort to not have the state pay for a lot of the cost of that. Mm-hmm. So AT&T underwrote it. Commonwealth Edison underwrote it. You know, there was a ball and a dinner and hors d'oeuvres
and drinks.
I'm
sure Billy Daly at SBC underwrote it, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they got a deal later.
But
that'll come out in this mayoral campaign again.
But were they just doing it to be nice, you guys?
No.
Were they just underwriting all the costs to be nice, or were they trying to get access to Blagojevich? I mean,
dun, dun, dun.
The F up.
In my fantasy world, and which has nothing to do with
Kathleen Turner. We're
Kathleen
back
Turner.
To Kathleen Turner. We
in
pick
my,
a theme at the beginning
right
of each show, and then we weave it in.
We
I like
do.
That.
In the fantasy world, there's something called an editor. A crusty but benign, grizzled old guy smoking a Lucky, okay? Hat pushed back on his desk, and he looks at this copy. And the reporter's like, yes, because, there's inauguration and parties and donations and people are trying to get influence. And the editor reads this stuff and looks at the kid and balls it up and throws it right in his face and says, get the bleep out of here. Get another job because you don't belong in this one. But there's the incredulity of it all. The hand-wringing of it all, right? The, oh, my God, influence.
I'm at a loss on exactly. I mean, what do you think campaign fundraising is all about? Have you looked at a campaign fund over the last 75 to 80 years, however it's been on?
Right.
Do you think people are writing checks right now to Susana Mendoza and Tony Preckwinkle and all the candidates running for mayor because they're just nice people? Or do you think that there's a hope that they get something in return or they at least get access? I mean, that is just like Sesame Street information.
The same moronic child who wrote that copy about the, inauguration.
And speaking of Sesame Street, I'd like to condemn them for announcing this big thing about they're going to have a homeless character.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Hello. The Grouch lives in a garbage can. I think that...
I thought the same damn thing.
On. You know what? I'm sick of that Sesame Street thing.
I know.
They're virtue signaling. Are they going to have the hate has no home here signs pointed out at parents in the audience? You know, just in case they don't agree with how Sesame Street is.
I didn't even know Sesame Street was still on the air. Honestly,
well, it's now owned by HBO.
Oh, you have a subscription.
Yeah, monetized.
Well, okay, so HBO produces it. They get first run at it, and then they give it back to the PBS, you know, or public broadcasting to do after it's already run on HBO. So it's still accessible in new form, but yeah.
I just want to point something out too before we move on. John used the BB word earlier.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to have to cut it out?
No.
I don't want to be offended.
But he's offended that I'm drinking my champagne out of a bottle because it's unladylike.
Oh, yeah, wait. So. You know, because I got accused of being John Cass is a sexist letter on the last podcast from the People's Republic of Oak Park.
Just one?
The idea
one
being,
you can read.
Not the ones that put my town, you know, where I live out. They do that now on Twitter. Cass lives in here and here. That's amazing. Thank you very much. Go in peace, my friends. But I don't think, I just don't like the idea of women drinking out of a bottle.
I'm sorry.
Is it Victorian?
I love it.
You love the fact that I do.
I love a woman who drinks out of a bottle who gives no shit about it.
Kathleen Turner would.
Exactly.
And has.
Exactly.
I'm sure. And even eats the little worm inside at the end.
Don't do that.
He has brought this up a number of times over the years. So it's a thing with you. You just don't like to see women.
I'm a Victorian.
So bottled. I mean, really, it's just bottled beer.
And you shouldn't be showing your ankles.
Oh. No, you should show your ankles. I'm not against ankle showing. I'm not against beaches.
What are your other pet peeves, though? What about women who wear jeans to work?
I like that, too. I don't have any complaints about women.
Okay.
I don't even... You know what, Kristen? I've been a journalist for 30 years. And in all that time, I don't... You know the way it is now? The last 20 years or so, I haven't even looked at a... I couldn't tell you the gender of a person at work. You know, like, in the old... And someday people walk by. There's this habit among men that a comely female walks by. It's just instinctual in the medulla oblongata. And they have their heads turn.
It's an automatic swivel.
Yeah,
it just,
but
like,
I don't do that because I'm a journalist and I've been trained not to even think in those terms.
It's not even journalists. It's just men in general. You've been trained.
American
you
men.
You cannot avert. It's not even the swivel like the eyeball.
No, not
you gotta
even
to make
that.
Sure that eyeball just stays.
And there's something to do with sperm counts dropping in this country, but you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
I think that's artificial sweeteners, but maybe
it could be also fear of being called a bad name if you look at a girl.
I don't know. I can't.
But
I do
crank up the doors when I'm in my car.
Do you
alone? Yeah.
The doors.
Yeah, the doors.
Yeah.
You ever hear of them? Jim Morrison, love me two times, baby.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not a fan.
LA woman.
Yeah, LA woman.
What? Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I've tried to get on board. I just can't.
With the Doors?
Like the Doors and the Grateful Dead.
Two
different places.
No?
There is no overlap or Venn diagram.
Really?
Are they
of the same era?
No. Only because the Grateful Dead was like started in the 60s and the Doors were involved in up in the 60s.
Think of
but they
Grateful
did not.
Dead. You think of...
Dave,
what do you think
Grateful
of?
Dead's more akin to Dave Matthews, and the Doors are more
okay.
More,
I can hear that.
Doors are more akin to an earlier version of Nirvana.
Grateful Dead, stoners are eating Ben and Jerry ice cream.
Yeah,
that's Grateful Dead.
Yeah,
Jim Morrison,
great poet.
That's naked.
Really poet.
That's the naked Indian in the desert.
Yeah,
you know that's a different deal.
Do you guys know who you're talking to here, though? You want to know what the most recent song I just downloaded on my iPad? Crystal Gayle, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue.
Oh, I love that song.
Don't It Make My Brown Eyes. So,
Keep going.
No, I'm just saying that I have the worst 70s taste in music you will ever find.
Crystal Gayle, awesome.
Yeah, now there's a beauty. Do you know who we're talking about?
I don't.
See, he's too young as for Crystal Gayle.
Can you sing any, you know, you're such a great voice. Can you sing?
I have a, I
Neil
do not.
Diamond, Cracklin' Rosie.
I don't do Cracklin' Rosie, but I also recently downloaded Forever in Blue Jeans. That's a favorite.
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Do-na-na. Money talks, do-do-do-do. It can't sing and dance, and it don't walk. Do 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 do.
I wish I had a Jew's harp right now.
I don't even know the words.
Cracklin' Rosie is more of a, I think, a kind of a porn song from the 70s.
Baby tonight, it's all coming back to me. Baby tonight, by the fire, all alone, you and I. Yeah, see, this is what happens when
right.
The champagne.
Let's drink champagne,
the
boy.
Start drinking out of the bottle, and oh, jeez.
I know, Mr. Victorian. Awesome.
Baby, tonight by the fire, all alone, you and I.
All right, I have to head back to work. Are you done
before
with
you
me?
Go, no, just a couple things. Rauner didn't want to, he wanted to drop out? He wanted,
yes.
What is this Governor Rauner thing?
And so I tweeted something out about this at the time too, and then got beat up on one of those blogs because I had heard that Karen McConaughey, who
yes,
is a state senator,
yes, I remember you tweeted that.
She kind of resigned suddenly, and then there was talk that maybe she had been approached, and it turns mm-hmm. out, in fact, she was. So yeah,
she had been.
She had been, but there was she wouldn't go on record. I reached out to her, but yeah. So he knows he doesn't want to run. No fire in the belly. Knows he's going to lose. Looking for other people to run for him,
but not going to a conservative. Why didn't he go to Jeannie Ives and say, "Jeannie, I was wrong. I was wrong. You're not Mike Madigan's daughter." And I'll back your campaign.
Yeah, I mean,
again, the whole idea of
that's sexism, baby.
Well, yeah, sexism for sure, but not the good of the people, not the good of the party, not the good of what's going to be best for.
Are you what? Who are you, Aristotle or something?
Well, no,
like, what is the greater good?
But no, but I mean, the greater good. So Rauner completely disengages with Trump because he's worried about getting reelected. So if there's 2 years of him not no interaction there. And then the same thing here. Well, I'm going to lose, but I don't want to concede defeat or say that I was an idiot before, so I won't go to Jeannie Ives. Even though if I had done that and thrown my pulled out and said, you know what, I've got a health thing, Jeannie, you should take this.
And there's $100 million.
And then you run away.
Wouldn't
with
happen.
It. No, I know it wouldn't happen, but it for the good of the conservative movement or try to steer this ship as a state away from liberal death. I mean, he could have done that.
He never was one. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And even though I really embraced his, I still do, his turnaround agenda, his pro-growth agenda, in his heart, I think he is among the people who is kind of still repulsed and kind of mocks the conservative wing when it comes to pro-life issues. And so there was just, we ordered up something that wasn't actually there. And I just think ego and all of that plays into it, too. You know, he wasn't going to step down or get out of the race.
I know you have to leave, but one more question. I need to know what happened to Rahm Emanuel, because the Rahm Emanuel that was advertised to me when he first came in, when they pulled that switch with Billy Daly, and don't forget, everybody, I mean, they played you for fools. They played all of Chicago. I'm going to, you know, Charlie Rose was the matchmaker and all that. Where was when Rahm Emanuel was coming in and he was trying to tell us that he lived in the city, when they had the, you know, his wife's, Amy's artifacts, wedding artifacts in the.
There were also some children's books, I learned.
Oh, really?
And like, a couple of like framed documents.
Like Hiawatha.
Like a diploma.
Like maybe Hiawatha, like the poems and stuff.
Perhaps.
That Rahm Emanuel promised us he was going to be a different person. And we had to wait for 8 years at the end of his career for him to do the stuff that he promised he would do 8 years ago. So what happened to him?
That's a good question. I mean, I still remember when he ran, and he ran an ad. Okay, don't forget he ran an advertisement that said, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, but we'll get calls if I'm not. City Hall is not an employment agency. He said that.
Yeah.
He made it sound like he was going to be tough with the unions as far mm-hmm. as pensions were concerned, that there wasn't going to be all this hiring. City Hall is not an employment agency. He was really going to turn the finances around. The first 3 years, the first term, nothing. And I think that just comes from, and I wrote a column at that time saying he was like all talk and no. And
the arrogance.
The arrogance talking. Without portfolio.
Great, great
To
column.
Which David Axelrod wrote a response that the Tribune editorial board ran on the pages. He I think, just
Welcome
is...
Welcome to my world.
I know.
But anyway, go on.
He's so Washingtonian and just politician that they actually think the first term you don't do anything. You do everything in the second term. They want us all to wait. So then he did, in the second term, tie revenue to different pension funds. So I can't totally take the mallet and pound him over the head.
He did a little, but he didn't do cuts.
No, the budget grew under him. His own office budget grew by, like, I don't know, 40% or something.
PR went from you know, 6 people to 35 people, whatever it is now.
It was big before, but I think he has 40 people.
Yeah,
you know, full-time photographers and all that. Right. So, in terms of what happened, either, like you're saying, we got duped and it wasn't really in his constitution to begin with. But I also think right off the bat that the teacher strike,
Karen Lewis,
like, shook
Karen.
Him. Yeah, I think it's he realized Karen. That you can't be mayor of Chicago unless you kind of bow to public employee unions. And I think he had sort of... Well, I agree, but I think he got
you
beat up a little
friends.
Bit. You won't have friends, and you won't have a second term.
Right.
But hello, that's... You're supposed to be serving... Right.
The people, the taxpayers. But
again,
let them run.
Back to what I'm saying.
The greater good. Jeff Carlin and the greater good.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know that we're going to get public officials who actually run as being first term, only term, perhaps, public officials, servants, going to do what's right, going to make everybody angry, but actually get the ship righted. And
well,
that's
we
just
have
a
plenty,
pipe
we have
dream.
Plenty
put it in of, your pipe and smoke it, John.
Yeah, put
and
it
you
my
can do it legally, probably, by, like, what, March, April?
May, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
and,
what we
and
can't
you can sports bet then too.
Then I can't drive on the Stevenson near Chinatown because everyone will be going slow. I'm just thinking of getting out of the loop,
bruh. Yeah.
Wow, bruh. Am I in the passing lane?
Whoa, Kathleen Turner.
There we go.
Kathleen Turner.
It. You got
Turner,
it back to
Turner,
KT.
Turner. I can't believe this. All right, for Kristen McQuarrie, thanks, Kristen, for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for singing, too.
Yeah.
And the champagne and the kolachkis.
You know what? If that sounds terrible, please cut it out or edit it. Can you add, like, some vocal backups or something?
You should know this. This is the top-rated podcast at WGN next to
is
sports.
Is it?
Wow.
Non-sports,
and
yeah.
Part of it is that people tune in every week, twice a week now, hoping to hear you sing.
Oh,
and I'm
right.
Just saying that.
Okay.
For Kristen McQuarrie, editorial page member of the Chicago Tribune and columnist, and for Jeff Carlin, the man who's going to tell me where I can go for a great piece of pie. And for me, John Cass, thanks for being here on another edition of the Chicago Wing.